You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Friday. It is with relief that we have reached the end of yet another week of Trump 2.0. And instead of talking about Donald Trump to kick off this show, let's do a fun bit of interviewing. And also, of course, it is Free Ticket Friday, where we're going to give away some tickets to the Brewers versus the Cubs, a game on July 28th at 6:40 p.m. Brewers looking to be in the run for first place in the division coming off the All-Star break. You're going to want those tickets. I'm going to drop the word to win for Free Ticket Friday very soon. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Remember, you've got to text in that word via the Civic Media app to get qualified to win. So stay tuned, Free Ticket Friday. And in the spirit of fun and progress, I'm so very privileged and humbled to be joined for this first half hour of our program this afternoon by Wisconsin State Representative Robin Vining of Assembly District 13. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Representative. It's a real pleasure to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
And let's start out with the big news that you made yesterday. Oh my goodness, announcing a Senate run. Congratulations on your announcement. And let's ask the most obvious point. In this political environment, why throw yourself into what promises to be quite a contested, potentially kind of ugly Senate race? What's motivating you to step up for yet another and different elected office?
People matter and they are worth fighting for. I mean, the long story of my time in office, I want to fully fund the public schools. I want to fight for affordable health care. I want to end gun violence. I want to tackle this unaffordable housing crisis that we have. Like, we've got to combat climate change. And we know that Republican lawmakers have been blocking us at every turn now for 7 years for me. And we have a shot here. It's going to be difficult, but we have a shot to flip the Senate. And if we can take the majority, we can do good things for Wisconsinites. So to me, it's worth the fight.
It occurs to me, having come off what was a really grueling biennial budget debate, the Assembly and Senate Republicans very slow to recognize they needed Democrats to actually get a budget across the finish line. Democrats were able to achieve some concessions. And listen, some improvements, some Democrats critical of some of the elements of the budget, certainly very difficult to get all that we know that should be done for working people and families in the state of Wisconsin. And it is very clear that in order to get more done for working people, your Senate race is going to be key to reestablishing a more level playing field between the parties here in the state to bring Republicans to a more fair and just compromise position, to create more leverage, in fact, instead of having to start a few feet behind the starting line. Do you see that as a clear imperative for your Senate race as well?
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, in all of my budget communications, I've talked about what was good in the budget and what was bad. I voted against the budget. It wasn't good enough for my district. I didn't receive a single contact from a constituent that was for that final budget. But there were also good things. Fundamentally, however, we were on a Republican playing field. We were negotiating on a Republican playing field. And one of the reasons to run for the state Senate seat is to flip the state Senate so that we can get off that Republican playing field. The Republican playing field has been bad for Wisconsin families. And I would like to get us to a place where the Wisconsin government just doesn't work for Republican lawmakers, special interests, but for actually for Wisconsin families.
Ironic, of course, that you say that. I will plug my own intro for the show that everybody just heard, because I talk about that all the time, is this idea, the difference between rhetoric and results. I don't know a politician that gets up and says, you know, I'm going to enact a whole series of policies and adopt budgets that really screw the middle class and working people and make it harder for you to make ends meet. That's not what they can say. But the reality of the Republican-controlled legislature in the state has been, frankly, despite all the rhetoric, results that have made it harder for working people, harder for the middle class, harder for families. And every single inch of progress that we've made has been despite all of that opposition, where they seem to do the bidding of mega corporations in this state and their donors without hesitation. You were the first Democrat to flip a legislative seat in some of the most gerrymandered maps, frankly, in the country back in 2018 when you ran for your representative seat for the 13th district. What was the key to that success? What do you take from that moving into your Senate race?
Well, the key to the success of us winning in 2018 is that candidates don't beat gerrymandering, communities do. The key to the success in 2018 was that I was surrounded by a community of people who wanted change. They wanted their voices heard in Madison, and they were willing to work hard and fight for it. So I was one of many people that worked to flip the 14th Assembly District in 2018. I flipped the 14th in 2018. I flipped the 13th in 2024. So I flipped now two-thirds of our Senate district. And we've done that really together. That has been a community effort. That's who I am. I want the community voice heard. I want to go fight for people at the Capitol. The voice of the people matters to me. I believe that the will of the people is the law of the land in Wisconsin. It should be. It's not right now, but it should be. And we've got to get to a place where we can make that a reality again.
Again, a point that I've talked about frequently on this show, that one of the measures by which I judge a democracy's health is whether or not we see enacted into law those things which the vast swaths of us agree about, regardless of what, whether we put an R or a D or an I or a none of the above behind our names. There are certain things, especially in Wisconsin, and I think so much more that we agree about as Wisconsinites than the artificial separation that I think the MAGAs, frankly, tend to exploit. So incredibly important there. You've shared a bit of your personal story that I think is really important, because it tells and it shows people that you understand the challenges that they're facing. I want folks to get to know you a little bit better. If you would like to share a little bit of what got you interested in elected office in the first place, and some of those personal experiences that you bring to bear when you're looking at what policies will serve your district in Wisconsin best.
Sure. So my Wisconsin political story really starts back in 2011 when we marched around the Capitol to oppose really divide and conquer politics and the underfunding of public schools and the attack on workers. So that's where my story begins. I'm married to a professor. I have two kids who were in school, and I had a little boy who was desperately terrified. He was about to lose his librarian because she was really the window to his world of books that he loved so much. And I'm the daughter of a public school teacher. And so those attacks on public schools back from the Republican lawmakers back in 2011, led me to my first protest. And I marched around the Capitol with a Love Wins sign. I wasn't sure what to write on a poster board as I was walking out the door. I guess I should carry a sign. And I quickly grabbed some old poster board out of the garage and I think children's finger paints and quickly like drew on it as we were leaving. I was like, what do I want to say? And to me, it was to oppose divide and conquer politics, to set a better vision for Wisconsin. And that's what Love Wins. Love Wins is really opposition to divide and conquer politics, to dividing the people that you have sworn to serve in an attempt to conquer them offends me at my core. And so there's that piece. That's the Wisconsin Wisconsin political start. But even before that, I was a mom who was, I was pregnant and I was kicked off my health insurance, my private health insurance, and had a Medicaid pregnancy and a Medicaid baby and postpartum coverage in Medicaid. And I wanted to make sure that no woman is ever like losing her health insurance because she's pregnant ever again. And right now the ACA does protect that in most circumstances. But I've written a bill to make sure if the ACA were to go away, as the Republican lawmakers keep threatening us they want to do, to protect pregnancy coverage. I do anticipate actually that bill coming out next week. Being a mom who loses their health insurance while pregnant is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And so that hits at the core for me. I know what it's like to benefit from postpartum healthcare coverage. And so I will fight with every fiber of my being that we pass postpartum Medicaid expansion. It is critical that we pass this. Women are dying in the state of Wisconsin, preventable deaths. And the fact that Wisconsin is one of only two states, just us and Arkansas, that haven't passed this is unconscionable to me. And so that is deeply rooted in my life experience. And I want to get it done.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I am joined this half hour by Representative Raman Vining. She represents the Assembly District 13, just announced yesterday her run for the state Senate. You said something that I think is so important, and you said candidates don't defeat gerrymandering, communities do. And again, I think by sharing some of your personal stories, people can see, hey, this lady understands where I'm coming from, can actually feel some of my pain. I've got a really big picture question for you, and we can return to it. We've just got about a minute left in this particular segment. Here's my big picture question. Given the opportunities that Democrats, centrists, progressives, and folks that truly and in good faith care about Wisconsin families, the opportunity that is presenting itself here in the state of Wisconsin in 2026, do you think that it is important for Democrats to articulate some very clear working folks, middle class policy proposals to unify around going into 2026? Because again, we're a big tent party. There are some differences of opinion about what we should be prioritizing. Are there some things that we can actually all get behind and message to all Wisconsinites that Democrats are about in this state?
I do, and I think that starts now. That's part of the benefit of a longer campaign. We have more time to ensure that we are casting vision that people can like latch on to. It's also more time to listen, though. So we do have a big tent, so we need to hear from people. We know we're hearing from people that housing is unaffordable. We know we're hearing from people that the public schools aren't funded enough. So we need to spend the next year A, casting vision, and B, listening, make sure that the vision that we're casting is accurate.
How is she going to listen to you? Our conversation with Representative Raman Vining continues on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, and welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Friday, everybody, and it is Free Ticket Friday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can find Free Ticket Friday every Friday throughout the summer across all of our network shows on Civic Media. And that means in the 4 o'clock hour, I will be dropping the word to win some tickets to the Brewers versus Cubs in their chase for the division lead. That game is coming up at 6:40 p.m. on Monday, July 28th. That's 6:40 p.m. on Monday, July 28th versus the dastardly Cubs in the I-94 rivalry of rivalries. You're going to want to text this word that I'm about to drop via the Civic Media app. Are you ready? If you don't have that app, go get it from wherever you get your apps from. The word to win for Free Ticket Friday today until 5 p.m. is Maggie. M-A-G-G-I-E. No points for misspelling, but it is M-A-G-G-I-E, as in it's the Maggie Dawn Show. And I've got a fabulous guest, elected state representative Robin Vining of the 13th Assembly District. She just announced yesterday her run for state senate. Before the break, we were talking with Robin about the idea of Democrats putting forward affirmative policies, affirmative ideas that really will serve all Wisconsinites, to get ahead of this, to not be in the reaction position, but in the affirmative offensive position, laying out a vision for Wisconsin, working people and middle-class families in this state. You mentioned listening to people before the break, Representative. Do you think we can do better to listen to people? How do Democrats do better? What's your plan to make sure that you are listening to your constituents and your would-be constituents in your new Senate district?
Sure. Well, I mean, part of listening is actually doing the things that people want you to do. If you say that you've heard someone, but you don't actually do something about it, have you really heard them? And so I think, you know, when I listen to my district, I hear over and over again, the schools, the underfunding in the public schools, that's a serious concern. It's causing property taxes to go up in a market where housing is already unaffordable, compounded with childcare costs for people who are, you know, trying to manage both. And so we need to do a better job saying, like, I hear you, and then actually enacting policies or making state budget decisions or what have you that are in sync with the needs of the people.
I think the other piece of that has to be actually showing up for the fights and engaging in the fight. I think Democrats, and at times there have been missed opportunities, just in my little old opinion here, where we haven't really taken the fight directly and very loudly out into the public sphere. It has been usually resistance in response to things. But the affirmative fight, I think, presents a really big opportunity for Democrats in 2026. During the break, you mentioned to me, hey, we've got to look at policies and things that really are uniting and bipartisan and aren't specifically a Democratic priority or again, leaning into those partisan divides. What's one such policy that you think we should be looking at for the 2026 race and that you want to elevate in your role currently and as a state senator?
Sure. So thank you. I've been waving my hands in the air for years now that we have a mental health crisis that's affecting every corner of the state, every socioeconomic level. It's everyone. It's affecting everyone. And this is not partisan. The mental health crisis it affects everyone and everybody cares about it. So we hear from people please act. People who say to me, I don't really want to see the government spending more money, are saying, I want you to spend money on mental health because we see it as critical, because we see it as urgent. And so I have written a bill package called the Mental Healthcare is Healthcare package now for several sessions in a row, growing the package with the number and types of bills each legislative session. We just introduced it about a month ago. And so we've got to work on mental health. And that, to me, if we get the majority, as I've watched Republicans like barely move on mental health, they've moved. I'm glad we've gotten them to move. Mm-hmm. But we need to act We need to do more. And so, so to me, we would get the majority to do a very nonpartisan or multi-partisan effort to really engage with the mental health crisis and deliver for Wisconsinites.
I've started to throw around the word cross-partisan, trying to figure out, like, what is the thing that actually isn't really about parties at all? It's just good gosh darn public policy. And I think mental health is one of them. As someone who struggled with depression and anxiety throughout much of my young and adult life, I applaud that. I appreciate that. Mental health care is health care, and we should have a right to access that when we are in need. I couldn't agree with you more. We're joined again this half hour by Representative Robin Vining of the state's 13th Assembly District. She's running for state senate. She announced that yesterday. Let's turn a page and just do a little bit of fun stuff. Here's my big gotcha question this afternoon. What is something about you, Robin, that people don't know, that hasn't shown up in some other biography of you, that people might find a wee bit surprising?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so terrible at questions like this.
It's why I don't tell you about them ahead of time.
I would have a better answer. I don't know. My first thought was, I really love the show Severance, like, a lot.
Oh, it's something very minutia level is a perfectly acceptable answer to that. I just stumbled across The Morning Show and Severance, finally caving to yet another subscription. So I'm right there with you, Representative Vining. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. We can't wait to have you back as you move forward in your Senate campaign for 2026. She's Robin Vining, the proud representative of the fighting 13th Assembly District. Stay tuned, everybody. We got more coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you, Maggie.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is time for our weekly Friday segment known as Ask Maggie. Sometimes it's at 5:30. Today, 4:30. And I've got my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, with me. It is also, of course, Free Ticket Friday, where you can go to the Brewers game courtesy of Civic Media. We got 4 tickets that were given away for the Brewers versus the Cubs at the beautiful AmFam Theater. That is going to be happening on Monday, July 28th at 6:40 p.m. That's Monday, July 28th at 6:40 p.m. If you would like to get qualified to win those tickets this hour, you're going to want to text the word Maggie. Ooh, that's a surprise. The word Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E. Via the Civic Media app. That's the important part. Got to download that app wherever you get your apps from. Text the word Maggie using the little text button on the app. And again, you'll be entered to win 4 tickets to the Brewers v. those dastardly Cubbies on Monday, July 28th at 6:40 p.m. And without further ado, welcome back, Jamie. Great to see you on this Friday afternoon.
Thank you. Happy Friday. Hey, I'm just glad that you spelled that one right.
Yeah, that would be slightly embarrassing indeed.
It's been a week, right? Like if you had misspelled your own name, I would not think twice about it because it's been a little bit of a week as far as news goes, things happening in the state, around the country. You know, just then there's the general life stuff that you got to put up with every day too. So
yeah, not as bad time. As the first week of November 2024, but you know, a challenging news week nonetheless, I would say.
Well, you know, I don't know if any of us, I mean, honestly, let's be realistic for just a moment. If you saw Trump win the election and you've been following along since that night in November, that fateful, fateful night, did you really think that the news headlines were going to be quiet? We went through version one and we knew what that was like. And you knew that it could only go up, down, sideways.
Sideways.
I don't know, however you want to say
it. It was like Trump light. Oh, Trump 1.0. That was Trump light. Now whole new baseball game. But
here we are.
Let's do a little Ask Maggie this afternoon.
We've got some good stuff. We've got a mix of some fun stuff. We've got a mix of some really good questions, I think. Our listeners always put you to task.
Always.
So Cal, who's producing for us today, my favorite part. You know what? I'm going to say it every week. Let's have the intro for Ask Maggie.
Gotta
here.
Do it.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, yes, if you have forgotten how this works, you send in your questions via text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or anytime you think of a good one, maybe even a stumper, you can send it in via email to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can also send in your complaints and compliments via askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And on occasion, I'll take those up on the air, as we did this week, Jamie. I listen, even the hard feedback, I think, is sometimes really important to share with folks and talk about on the air. I appreciate it.
I think you have to continue to have those conversations, especially in light of where we're at in the political sphere, however you want to say it.
Indeed.
Those conversations need to keep happening because that's how we make progress. Or we continue to watch the Jeffrey Epstein debacle unfold. Whatever.
Which I'll get to a little bit of that later today, because it's been a minor news item this week. Very minor, very little, very few inches, very few clicks on the Epstein debacle.
Small preview there.
Yes. And of course, Jamie then will limit me to 30 seconds or maybe even a minute and a half. It's a big juicy one. And that's my challenge, is to stop talking before the timer hits zero. So what do we got this week, Jamie?
Well, would you like to start a little bit more serious or a little bit more fun? I'll give that up to you.
Your choice, my friend.
Okay. All right. It's Friday, so let's ease into the really hardcore stuff, right? Not that anything's too hardcore here. But all right, we're going to give her 60 seconds for this question. And this comes to us from Tom, who lives in Sextonville. And he says that last night he turned off the news, quit doom scrolling, and watched old episodes of The Price is Right. Nothing against Drew Carey, Tom from Sextonville says, but he's no Bob Barker. I mean, really, who is? He had the shining smile, the great suits. All the ladies loved him.
And that tiny little mic.
I know.
It was like a feat of engineering back in the 70s.
It was. And he was a pet advocate. So I can get down with some Bob Barker, right?
Yes.
So Tom's question for you is, what's your favorite old game show? And do you have a favorite game show host? 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Oh, well, this will probably surprise no one. I'm a huge fan of Jeopardy, and Alex Trebek was obviously an enormously big host. But what's the name of the host that used to do The Feud? That guy. The Family Feud. I love The Feud. Give me some Feud. I currently love Steve Harvey, Original, the OG
Richard
host
Dawson.
Of The Feud, Richard Dawson. He was hilarious. I really got down with some Feud. I'm trying to think of some of the... Oh, I loved the $60,000 pyramid. Didn't you ever... You find yourself, screaming at the TV when the families were trying to come up with the ideas. It's much harder under pressure, I would probably have to assume. Now, of course, the darkness here is that I think both Richard Dawson and maybe Bob Barker had a couple of allegations against them. I mean, we mentioned Epstein. I can't remember if that... I think it was mostly the Richard Dawson, like, kissing the ladies on The Feud. That was
it's a little creepy.
A little creepy. Yeah, yeah. Some of that stuff hasn't aged so well, you know.
No, especially when the family members are like 15-year-old girls, and it's kind of like, okay, we're going there. All right,
less Richard.
Fine.
Less Richard. He was funny. I would take, let's minus the creep, keep the funny, yeah. right? It's just yeah. the same with Bob Barker, like minus the creepiness, keep the pet advocacy, please get your pet spayed and neutered and keep the good humor. And boy, that would be real nice, wouldn't it?
Well, was Bob Barker really creepy or did he just like the models too much? Like, I mean,
which reads a little creepy. Right? If I remember, I think there was one spokesmodel that actually made a specific allegation against Bob. I'm sure all of our listeners will inform us.
Yes.
En masse on the text line, but
please do.
In the modern era, you know, I have friends that live and die by Survivor. I just want to shout at the screen, shut up, Jeff Probst, especially when he like narrates the immunity challenges. Ooh, yeah. Sally's so far behind. Keep going. Say, shut up, Jeff. Yeah.
Watched maybe exactly 4 episodes of Survivor in my entire life, and it's been on for 190 years now, or at least that's how it feels.
Many years, never
a show I could really get into. I couldn't get into that one like a lot of people did. But
I don't even want to bring this up. Like when Fear Factor first came out, I don't want to bring it up because then, of course, that's the Joe Rogan character thing.
I
thought Fear Factor was kind of entertaining, except for the gross eating parts. But I guess on occasion I will watch The Amazing Race because I like to watch people figuring out how to get around and interact in countries where they right. don't speak the language and they hold no currency. Wait, that's a Paul Simon song, but you get what I'm saying. On occasion I will currently watch The Amazing Race, but it's the exception, not the rule. Die Hard Jeopardy. That's my answer. I'm sticking to it. Alex Trebek.
Alex
and Die
Trebek
Hard
was
Jeopardy.
Always the best. Mustache Alex Trebek too.
Oh that, yeah. That was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
My favorite.
Go ahead. Go Jamie, ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say my favorite part when you watch episodes of things like The Amazing Race or you watch any American interact with somebody from another country.
Yes.
This will never be not entertaining to me because we all do it. We all speak louder. Not slower, not clearer. No. We speak louder like those poor people are deaf. They're not. Their English just might not be as good as ours. But I think we've all been guilty of that.
And of course, The Amazing Race also has a wee bit of cringe as well, because it was like, hey, let's build a game show around Americans being really obnoxious in foreign countries because I go fast, fast, fast. I'm in this and with the athletic gear on, it's sort of like the extreme stereotype of the American yeah. tourist. And when I have traveled abroad, I didn't have a cell phone. Like what I'm talking about back in college when I really, you know, with the backpack mm-hmm. and schlepped around. But in my backpack, I remember I tried to keep the luggage to an absolute minimum. But one of the things that I had in there, and I'll never forget this, was a wrinkle resistant proofed, very lightweight, black long like cap sleeve scoop neck dress, because when I would get places I didn't want to look like an American, right? So I'd put this on and I had some nice flats that I would wear, you know, like legitimately when in Rome. So I would, and I could wash it in the sink and rinse it out at the hostel, you know, and it would dry by the morning. I got more literal mileage out of this one black dress from the Gap that I probably paid about $50 for, which was this massive investment when I was in college, than almost any other clothing garment I've ever owned. It put on thousands of miles all over Europe and a bit of Asia as well. Yeah, it was a utility piece, as they say.
Made to last. Y'all, that's a life lesson though right there. Ladies, if you're listening, you should all have one of those in your closet. I'm telling you, if you
hand
don't,
washable,
go
air dry overnight.
That's right.
Go super invest. Helpful.
And some of that stuff now is so easy. You don't even have to spend $100 on it. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Like I have a couple of travel pants outfits, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
they don't wrinkle, elastic waist, very comfy, because right. now it's all about the comfort.
I know. And I'm all about that. All right. So Cal's giving us a signal that we're already quickly running out of time because we digress.
So let's get another
easily.
One. We should call it the tangent segment.
We should.
Mostly.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. We'll give you 30 seconds for this one because I love this question in light of Wisconsin news right now and some of the headlines swirling. This comes to us from Don, who is in Hayward. Okay. And he says, Maggie, is there some sort of betting pool I can join for if Tony Evers is going to run for a third term? Do you want to start one with me if there isn't one? So 30 hey, seconds for this one, Cal, when you're ready.
I am not aware of a betting pool, but it's an excellent idea. I think right now, if the Vegas odds were keeping book on Tony Evers running, the longer shot would be that he runs. I think Tony's a little pooped. I think he wants to spend some time with his wife, take care of his family, see his grandkids, do all that kind of thing. That certainly seems to be the direction that things are going. So if I had to wager, I'd probably have to wager on the he ain't running. Oh, that was a great question, Don. If you want to take the long odds on that, maybe I'll buy you an adult beverage on the flip side. Folks, again, don't forget you can put your questions in. We'll try to get to them if I don't tangent down some rabbit hole. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Also, you can text them in anytime at 855-752-4842. And don't forget, the word to win on this free ticket Friday is Maggie. Text that in via the app, and you'll qualify to win 4 Brewers tickets for July 28th. We'll be back with Terry Barr, What's Good Local and Overlooked, next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday to each and every one of you. Shoo! We made it, and it is now time for one of my favorite segments of the week. We call it What's Good, Local, and Overlooked with my colleague and friend, Terry Barr from Civic Media. Welcome back to the show, Terry. How are you?
How's Maggie? Your week been? Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm right there with you saying TGIF, but I have a scoop for you. Note the word scoop.
Are we going to talk about custard?
Ice cream, custard, whatever you would like. Did you know Wisconsin has an ice cream trail? I love this story. Yes, it is a trail around the entire state where you can basically drive place to place to place to place to see the beauty of Wisconsin and stop at ice cream and custard and gelato places to celebrate ice cream month. How about that? President Reagan back in 84 designated July as National Ice Cream Month. But I talked to our own fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, about it. And here's what else she told me about this trail.
Every one of them has a little bit of a story, and they're located from really all across the state of Wisconsin. And I think that the Gather Wisconsin folks are interested for feedback. If you find one that's unique, that's not on the path, gatherwisconsin.com. It's a downloadable PDF that you can tuck in your glove box if you're somebody that travels for work or if you're taking the kids on vacation.
So there you go. She mentions gatherwisconsin.com. It's where you will find the whole list, or the trail, as they call it. 20 locations, every single one. You could go from Hayward to La Crosse to Madison, cruise up north to Appleton, Green Bay, Door County. I mean, that's just a few. But every single one dishes out, yes, that delicious stuff that we
intended.
Love
in the yes. summer.
Okay. But if you know one that you want to add to the list, that's why yeah. Pam mentioned gatherwisconsin.com. You can get the current list, but you can add your own local favorite. How fun is that?
That's amazing. So growing up, I lived in walking distance.
Oh, no.
From the Cops Custard on Burleigh Avenue on the northwest side. It is now called Roberts. And of course, I have stories about custard. The first one is I literally made myself physically ill eating almond flavored custard because it is one of my favorites of all time.
Yes.
Which then leads me to, and I was just talking about traveling with Jamie in the last segment. When I lived in Europe, I spent a goodly amount of time in Italy. I was fortunate to, where I unfortunately stumbled across pistachio gelato.
Oh my goodness.
And I ate a pistachio gelato after every lunch and after every dinner. I was like obsessed with it when I lived in Italy.
I can't blame you.
Most people dropped LBs when they were traveling around in college because of all the... I think I put at least five on when I was in Italy from all the stinking gelato. And well, here's the other good news, Terry. You've found the one thing about Ronald Reagan that I can get behind. July is ice cream month.
You might like it. And, you know, it's interesting. The Dairy Association says the average American eats roughly, now we're just talking ice cream here, roughly 20 pounds of ice cream every year, which is about 4 gallons of ice cream. I don't think I match that because I only eat ice cream in the summer. But I'm happy to hear that people are eating ice cream and supporting dairy.
Oh, absolutely. I probably exceed that, I have to say. I can say this. I definitely know my dad exceeds that. My dad is a very, very healthy eater, except when it comes to ice cream as his Achilles heel, as is popcorn. The man loves his popcorn and ice cream. Those are his like junk food treats of treats. And I can't really say that I blame him. I wonder if that average holds true for Wisconsinites. I've got to think we probably average a little bit more than that. What do you
think? I would sure think so. And this month in particular, if you're going to do this Wisconsin ice cream trail, oh, we know we can beat that number.
Oh, easily. You know, people forget that there wasn't Culver's back in the day.
Right.
Like there wasn't a custard place in every whistle stop. Right. Yeah. And many people, as I got to know people from other places in the country, I would talk to them about custard and they're like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like creme brulee? I'm like, no, frozen custard where they use eggs.
Yes.
Like, it's so delicious. They just had, the minds were blown. And then when I was in New York, people were all obsessed with the Tasty Treat, which actually was the subject of one of the most fascinating pieces of litigation over a number of years over like the formula that was used. And it was like Tasty Freeze and Tasty Treat. I might be getting the exact name wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this gut rot. What are you all so up in arms about? This,
I feel
this
like Seinfeld
like watered...
did an episode on the tasty. Yeah.
It's like this watered down custard. What did you?
Oh my gosh.
And I also have this theory. If you go to the Brewers games, they sell quote unquote custard, but it comes out of one of those like tasty treat type dispensers.
Oh, like the squeezy machine thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they sell a twist. I'm like, I'm apparently a frozen custard purist. Like that is not how custard is served. It has to come in scoops and you cannot have a swirl of the chocolate and vanilla. That's just totally inappropriate. You have to keep these things. They're sacrosanct. Anywho, thank you so much, Terry, for sharing.
Oh, you bet. It's always fun to chat.
Absolutely. Have a fabulous weekend, Terry.
You as well.
We appreciate you. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jackie Anderson. She's the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. What are the impacts of the big, brutal bill in your community? And how many people are actually food insecure in your community? We discuss next. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Tell me something good.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.